Let us pause for prayer. Oh God, we thank you for this Easter season, a chance to hear more stories about the resurrection. Help us apply it. Help us that it can make sense to us, that we can share it and also be guided. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, Marlou and I went to visit relatives in San Francisco, and on our way back coming home, we stayed in Cambria for the night, and the next morning we went to this French bakery in town, and as her brother Manuel and I were sitting there having coffee, there's a lady who was kind of sat next to us and was listening to us, and she broke into our conversation. And she found out where we were from and found out a little bit about her. She had been taking care of her mother, and then her mother passed away and she moved into the house, which is across from Moonstone Beach, if you know where that is. And so she walked everywhere. She was telling us about her lifestyle and about her background and some of her past. And pretty soon we were into deep conversation with this stranger. It was kind of nice, actually. It was very delightful. We could have kept talking on and on. We could have visited more and gotten to know each other better. It was one of those times where you meet somebody and you just kind of connect with them. Before that, on the way up to San Francisco, we stopped at our favorite succulent garden store. And as we're looking around, there's this couple that said, oh yeah, we're from, they were asking the cashier, we're from Altadena, and we don't know, we want some advice on succulents. And my wife said, oh, we're from Altadena too. It's kind of strange just to meet somebody, but it's kind of cool also when you're away from home and you're on a journey and you're in a strange place and you talk to strangers, and there's a sense of connection there. There's a sense of joy and faith and hope. And you regain confidence in humanity when that happens, because we hear about all the bad news and all the sad news and all the crime and tragedy. There's a sense of warmth and peace and light that we feel when we meet these soulful individuals far away. I wonder if that's what happened with these two men who are traveling to Emmaus. Suddenly, they cross paths with the resurrected Jesus, even though they don't know that's him. But they were just talking about all the events that had happened over that weekend. And by this chance meeting, then they meet the Lord. Was it a chance meeting, or was it planned by God? Sometimes we wonder if people we meet, strangers, are a chance meeting, or if God somehow arranges them. So let's see what happens on the story. Now, these two men were going to Emmaus. One's name was Cleopas, and the other doesn't have a name that isn't named. We don't know if they have spent a lot of time with Jesus. We don't know how close they were to him, how long they had been in his presence. But the inference is that they had traveled to Jerusalem because they wanted to be part of Jesus' movement. They had heard about it. He said that one of them said in verse 21, we hope that they would redeem Israel. So they came with expectations. They were expecting maybe some political change or some government power shift, and they thought maybe they could be a part of it. But nothing materialized. It evaporated. Their hopes were dashed and broken, because here was their master teacher whom they thought would take over, but he was condemned and crucified and killed and taken away and buried in a tomb. So now their wild and crazy adventure and journey came to this abrupt end. All the attention, all the hype, all the energy and the glory that they shared with people where Jesus had generated had suddenly gone away. It was like a pipe dream. and everything went by the wayside. So in the scripture, the implication is they're going home. They're returning to their former lives. They're going back to their dull and dreary and drab, ordinary and mundane existence, back to the routines, back to the ruts. It also seems as if nothing great really happened, as if it didn't matter, that Jesus didn't make a difference because he came to redeem Israel, and now they don't seem to understand what had happened. They seem kind of fuzzy because they thought he was a prophet. They thought he came for Israel only. But now everything was lost, and they were lost. So on the third day, they decide to leave and get out of town, to leave Jerusalem. The rumor was that he did rise from the dead, that he would come back. In fact, he predicted that on the third day he would. And then there were mentioned by these women that he did, that the tomb was empty and there were angels, and Jesus was alive. So they're traveling to Emmaus and they're talking to Jesus, and Jesus is starting to talk theology with them. Now, if it were you, wouldn't you want to stick around a little bit if you heard about this? Because they were leaving on the day when Jesus had resurrected. Wouldn't you want to investigate? Wouldn't you want to, before you come to a conclusion, if people are saying that this happened, wouldn't you want to confirm it? Wouldn't you want to be hopeful? Yeah, maybe it did happen. Why didn't they stay? Maybe they weren't so close to Jesus. Maybe they had very limited exposure to him. Maybe they didn't bond with him. Maybe they were just spectators and saw him from afar and only had secondhand stories. Maybe they were just groupies or young idealists who just jumped on the bandwagon and joined in if something like this happened. Maybe they were on the fringes. But in any case, they didn't stick around. It was over. So they're walking, and Jesus joins them and starts joining their conversation. And Jesus brings up the topics. And he is explaining to them. He says that, well, Scripture says this, and this is a sequence, and this is how it's all related and connected. And he says that there are those who lack faith or are slow of heart to understand. Now, they must have been interested. They must have been fascinated with this stranger they're talking to. They must have been really stimulated and enjoying his company. But even though it might have been very illuminating, they kept going. They kept going towards Emmaus. They kept going home. In other words, they had made up their mind, I'm going back to the life I knew. I wasn't turning around. Of course, they still didn't know who Jesus was. But yet, they felt this deep connection with this traveler because they didn't want him to leave just yet. It was getting to be night, and they said, why don't you stay with us? They wanted to keep on talking to him. They wanted to keep on interacting with him. They wanted to keep traveling with him. They didn't want to separate. They didn't want to go their separate ways. They didn't want to break that bond. They got a new friend, a new companion, a new kindred spirit, maybe. So Jesus agrees, and they're having a meal, and Jesus takes bread and blesses it and gives it to them. And instantly, their eyes were open, and they saw him, and they recognized him. And they said, were not our hearts burning while we were on the road talking to this man? What was it? What seemed to crack open their conscience? It had to do with the hospitality that was exchanged between them. They welcomed Jesus to join them. They welcomed his words. They welcomed him to stay with them. They welcomed what he had to say. And perceiving that he must be by himself. They welcome him to be with them. And in return, Jesus extends the same hospitality. He breaks bread with them, shares in the meal. And then it says this in verse 35, that same hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the disciples and shared what happened. So when they saw Jesus, the risen Jesus, they chose not to go back. They changed their minds. They decided not to return to their ruts and their routines. They decided not to go back home. But they decided to make a new home, to continue the adventure and the journey and to pick up where they left off. And in the process of hospitality to the stranger and the mutual sharing, they discover Jesus, the true Jesus, not this political figure, not this political leader, but the Messiah. Their whole perspective seemed to change. And seeing the resurrected Lord seems to change their perspective of the world. Meeting the resurrected Lord, they see the world differently now. And they see themselves differently. They're not going to go back to their old selves, but they're going to go forward in this new identity, and this new vision, this new future. And they decide, we're going to take this risk. We're going to take this leap of faith and take a step in a different direction to forge a different path. What they had gotten was a new sense of mission. They decided not to go backward, but forward. And so what the text is also asking us this morning is, where is your Emmaus? And where is your Jerusalem? Emmaus represents the old, the past, the ordinary, the mundane part of your life. The Jerusalem represents the new, the exciting, the future, the extraordinary. And it asks us, why would you want to go back to the old ways? Why not go the way of Jesus and take this new adventure together? Was it a planned meeting? According to this passage, meeting the resurrected Lord, having this connection, does have meaning. And it is orchestrated in some sense by God, and to be blessed by this stranger. When we have these intimate, close connections, it's a sign that God cares. It's a sign that God is interested in us. It's a sign that God is doing a new thing in us, that God is calling us to a new way of life and to go forward, not backward. We receive a new infusion of energy. We are injected with hope and new possibilities, and we can be excited about it and go forward. Meeting these strangers prompts us with a renewed sense of vigor and zest for life. And so let's welcome the stranger, and let's extend the hospitality. And in that process, our eyes will be open and we meet the risen Lord. And our hearts will be burning and will be warmed and will be filled. As that movie goes from the movie Frozen, let it go, let it go. Unfreeze your fears. Let Jesus melt them away. We don't have to be captive anymore. Christ is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.